speaking from the book of James, probably for the next 10 weeks, if you would. Amen. Maybe the next 10 weeks. Amen. And I want to make sure that we have a complete understanding of what the Word of God is saying to us and how we can apply, amen, the Word of God to our lives. Amen. So many times we read things and then we leave without understanding. And many times it's because we rush through things. Amen. We like to shout it out. Amen. But the Bible says for us to study to show ourselves approved. Amen. Amen. And so as the shepherd of this house, amen, it is my duty, it is my job, amen, to teach the people of God and to equip the saints. Amen, that we can go out and bring the lost in so that the lost can be found, amen, and the lost can be won, amen. And it goes here with having a good understanding, amen, of the Word of God. Amen, sound man, if you turn me down just a bit, amen, not too low, amen. Go ahead, cut me back up some, amen. All right, well, let's go to the book of James, amen, chapter number one, verse number one, amen, and I just want to take my time on tonight, amen. Certainly we're going to still get out of here on time, amen, and we're going to split it up, if you would, over the next several weeks, amen. We're going to be in this book here, amen, and this is James, amen, the brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you have it, declare with a loud voice, I have it. Amen. If you don't have it, say, hold up. Amen. Let us stand for the opening scripture reading. Amen. Praise God. Amen. 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 Thank God for all of our visitors. Amen, my friends. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here with us on tonight. Amen. Let's just read verse number one. Let's read one verse. Amen. For your hearing. And the Bible says, James, amen, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, amen. We can just sit, amen. I'm going to pause here, amen. Just give the Lord a great big hand clap as you take your seats. Amen. That was awfully weak. Amen. All right. Amen. I'm going to ask that you take out something to write with and something to write on. Amen. James, my dear brothers and sisters, wrote to the Jewish Christians who have been scattered throughout the Mediterranean world because of persecution. It's interesting how persecution will make people scatter. Can I get a witness in here? Amen. Trouble has a proclivity of causing people to run, amen, and to settle and to be afraid because of trouble. And so James wrote to the Jewish Christians who had been scattered throughout the Mediterranean world because of persecution. As a result of their hostile surroundings, they were tempted to allow or to let intellectual agreement pass for true faith. Just because a person can talk about their faith, use big words, amen, they call them, in theology, they call them $2 words, amen. But just because a person can drop big words does not mean that they are a true believer in the faith, or that their faith is strong in God. Just mean they have a wide range of vocabulary. Amen. And so it is here that the people of God, they were tempted to settle as a result of intellectual agreement to pass for true faith. But James shows us this. He shows us his true concern in this letter for the persecuted Christian who were once part of the Jerusalem church. He shows that, James shows that he's compassionate, that he has compassion, amen, that he cares about the persecution that the other believers face. My dear brothers and sisters, it's very important that we are concerned about the persecution and adversity and trials and tribulations and struggles and strongholds that our brothers and sisters face in the faith. Because the same enemy that is attacking them is the same enemy that is attacking us. And the enemy is the adversary called Satan, the devil. Amen. He's a liar, the father of lies. Amen. There's no truth in him, no truth around him, nothing truthful about him. Amen. He's as wicked can be. He's wicked to the core. Amen. Don't go to sleep just yet. Amen. Wait till the organ come on. All right. Amen. And so it is here, my dear brothers and sisters, that James shows his concern in this letter to the persecuted Christians who were once a part of the church at Jerusalem, the church of Jerusalem. James wrote this letter for one purpose and one purpose only. And this is to expose the hypocritical practices and to teach right Christian behavior. Let's read verse number one. The Bible says, James, the servant of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. When James here, my dear brothers and sisters, when he parenthetically pinpoint here in chapter number one, when he talks about the scattered tribes, when James refers to the 12 tribes in verse one, he is referring to the Jewish people. The Jewish people are the offsprings, write this down, of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob, 12 sons. You may know Jacob because the Bible refers to Jacob as Israel. And it is here, my dear brothers and sisters, that the descendants of Jacob's 12 sons are referred to the 12 tribes or 12 nations of Israel. These are the audience that James is trying to comfort and console, at the same time confronting false doctrine. He's speaking to the 12 tribes or to the nation of Israel who have scattered due to persecution. Verse number two here says this. It says, my brethren, this is critical here. It says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Divers, simply defined as of varying types or several. If you had to define varying, it would be in different size or different amount or degree. It is here, my dear brothers and sisters, that the reason that we should count and to define count is, which is to determine, if you would, the total number of. And here he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or various troubles. He says, count it all joy. And he says this here because our trials or our troubles, amen, we should count it joy because, write this down, because of what troubles can produce. Amen. Troubles have a way of producing something that will work far better for you than the trouble itself. Trouble can produce integrity. It's trouble that causes us or helps us to realize the things that we won't do again. Anybody in here ever fell short of the glory of God and experienced some trouble? It's that trouble that helps us to get closer to God. It's sometimes trouble that helps us to hear from God. Sometimes if it had not been for the trouble in my life, I would not be where I am today. And I believe there's many of us in here with that same testimony that we can now, looking back at a mature place in life, when we experience trouble as a result of immaturity, we can look back and we can thank God for the trouble. Amen. Not everybody is able to do that, is to thank God for the trouble, but those of us that the trouble has produce something great in us that we're now we don't mind looking to the mirror and we like the reflection that we see when at one time before the trouble we hated what we saw that was reflecting back at us. Trouble is here. Amen. Let me slow down. I don't want to move too fast. It's Bible study. But somewhere deep down inside, Brother Rob, I feel a hoop coming on. Trouble has a way of producing great things in our life. The enemy uses trouble to destroy you. God uses that same trouble to build you and give you a testimony behind it. Trouble. James tells us, my dear brothers and sisters, he tells us to turn our hardships into learning lessons or life lessons. It is here that if you went through anything and anything that you went through, if you learned something from it, it was all worth it. So anytime we can learn, we can grow. And anything that does not grow is dead. And so it is here that life is a continual learning process. Every day that you wake up, you're going to learn something new, something different, something better. And for some of us, we're learning more and more about ourselves each day that we wake up. And so it is here that James tells us that hardships or troubles is intended for us to use and apply to our life as lessons that we can learn. Tough times can teach us perseverance. It's here that tough times teach you how to persevere. It's tough times that teach you how to call on the name of Jesus. It's tough times that help you to not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge the Lord, and the Lord will direct your path. It's tough times that help me to know and to understand if everybody leave me, long as the Lord is with me, I can make it through. It's tough times when I cannot call on mama or call on daddy, that the only one can help me out of this mess oftentimes that I got myself in is the Lord. And it's trouble that I can learn how to develop a prayer life. It's through different troubles and different things that come to test me that I learned that some things only come out of me when I fast and turn my plate over and seek the face of God. It's trouble that helps me to seek God's face and not his hand. See, his face is his fullness, but his hands is his provision. And it's tough times that I learn from. When I look back over my life, that has helped me to learn that God can do all but fail. He can make a way when it seems to be no way. When temptation come in and the enemy surrounds me like a flood, God is able to make a way of escape. Amen. Somebody shout, tough times produces perseverance. It's the perseverance that causes me to keep going another mile. See, the first mile is good, but the extra mile is great. See, it's when you learn how to persevere past the first mile that God will give you the endurance and the strength to go the extra mile. So when the enemy want to go 1 mile, which are you able to go 2? Perseverance. I'm stronger. I'm strong enough to survive the strong tactics of the enemy. I'm strong enough. Why am I strong enough? Because God showed me how to allow my troubles to not make me bitter, but make me better. Verse number 3, it says this here. It says, knowing this, and this word knowing or know here is a self-intuitive knowledge. It's knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It is here that patience defined as the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Some of us can stop right there and testify, Pastor, I ain't quite there yet. And that's why God is allowing our faith to continue to be tested, because he's trying to get us to a place to where our patience can have its perfect work in our lives. It is here that many of us, we struggle with delays. And we oftentimes look at delays as denies. A delayed blessing does not mean a denied blessing. Delay just means that it's held up for just for now. It's held up. And oftentimes, the reason why many things that we seek God for are held up is because the enemy is trying to hold those things up, because he already knows what God wants to do in our lives, and which is good things. It is the will of God that we prosper and that we be in good health. That's his will. And so the enemy in the spiritual atmosphere, the enemy here in the unseen realm, the enemy will try to hold up, just as he did Daniel, for 21 days. But the angel revealed to Daniel that God heard his prayer on day number one. And so it's here that we learn how, as a result of patience, as a result of our faith being tried and tested, we learn how to have patience and wait on God, because we can declare that he may not come when you want. But at Grandmama Church, they said it like this, Brother Corey. They said that he's always, Brother Derek, on time. Amen. Amen. So it is here that the trying of your faith produces patience. The trying of your faith produces that capacity for you to tolerate delay and know that it's only delayed, it's only held up. And if God is holding it up or allowing it to be held up, then the only reason he's holding it up or allowing it to be held up is because he's working on me. So when he releases it in my life, I will be prepared to handle it. And many times we want God to release things that we're not prepared or don't have the capacity to handle. Give me a little more help here in my mic. So it is here that God, he only takes us places where we're willing to take him. And so it's critical, because many times we want God to open up doors. But God knows if he opened up that door, we'll forget about God and we'll be more focused on the door than the one who opened up the door. And then it is here that we'll sell our souls for less than $1,000. Less than $1 million. I mean, many of us, we want God to open up certain doors, but many times when we walk through doors, we are so afraid to walk back out that door if we realize that God is not in this. And because of pride and things of that nature, we will stay in a place that God never called us to. Every good door is not a God door. And it is here that James says this. James doesn't say if trouble comes, but James says when trouble comes. In other words, James is preparing us for this thing called the Christian walk. He's saying that don't get it twisted. Don't get sidetracked. Don't be bamboozled or hoodwinked. Know this, that trouble is a part of life. And the Bible teaches us those of us that suffer with Christ are those that will reign with Christ. So in other words, there's a suffering and a reigning process that goes hand in hand. In other words, if you are not willing to suffer, then that means that you are not willing to rejoice. Because the only way that you can get to the place of rejoicing is to go through the place called suffering. And when I've suffered a little while, when I've suffered through things, it helps me to be able to rejoice when something else come up. Because I can declare that if God did it before, then the same God can do it again. If he healed me before, he's able. He's able to heal me again. Somebody ought to pause right there and just have a flashback and think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you. I want to know how many thankful folks do I have in the house that will take that will just for about 30 seconds just take a flashback and just look at how good God's been to you. You don't need an organ, a piano, drums, but when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul, it's just something on the inside. I just can't keep it to myself. I mean, I try, but the more I try, the more I got to cry out how good he's been, how merciful he's been, how kind he's been to me. Come on and praise him like he's been good. Come on and praise him like he's been on time. Come on and praise him like he's opened up doors that no man can shut. Come on and praise him like he's shut doors that no man could open. Glory. Whoa. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, I might not understand, but I'm going to praise you anyhow. Might not can see the way, but I'm going to bless you anyhow. Don't know how it's going to work out, but somehow when it work out, it's going to be for my good. I'm going to have my joy back, my peace back, my anointing back, my favor back. I feel it. Help is on the way. It's on its way. Be seated, please. Be seated, please. Be seated, please. It's when I think about how good he's been to me. And so James, I believe James had some experience with this thing called trouble. Because he don't say if, but he says when. So in other words, before we ever go through trouble as the writer already assumes that we will have troubles in this Christian life. And he already assumes, and I believe because he had some experience with how God worked things and how God allowed his trouble to profit from him, for him. And so James, he assumes that we will have trouble in this Christian walk, and he knows this, and he tells us that we can profit from our troubles. There's too many of us in here that our troubles are profiting because of us. But we're not profiting because of our troubles. And see, our troubles are profiting off of us because our troubles are bragging about what they're putting us through. And see, whenever your enemies can celebrate your humiliation, it's a devastating feeling. And see, that's what many of our troubles are doing. Many of our sicknesses and our letdowns, our failures, and our lack of funds, lack of finances, they are laughing in our face and threatening us to do something about it. It's like somebody picking on you, slapping on you, bullying on you. And you're 10 times bigger than your bully. But your bully has you so afraid because of its torment, because of its loud talk, because of its gestures, that it's able to profit off of you. Your believe it or not, your troubles are laughing at you so much when you don't fight back that they dare your neighbor to say something about it. And see, that's why here, even in the body of Christ, in the house of God, this is how our troubles profit off of us, because our troubles whoop us so bad. And we look like what we're going through, that our neighbors who we sit next to dare to open their mouths and praise God. But it is when you can take your troubles and make them into testimonies. It is when you can open up your mouth and declare that by his stripes, I am already healed. And let me tell you one thing, neighbor. It is not what I go through. Don't watch what I go through. What I want you to look at is how I go through. Because this trouble, I'm going to profit from it. And when I come out, I'm bringing everybody who's connected to me, I'm bringing them out. Do me a favor and send notice to hell and tell every neighbor that you sit next to that I'm getting ready to come out, and so are you. Oh, that's the wrong neighbor. I dare you tell somebody like you really mean it. I don't care what you're going through. You getting ready to profit from your troubles. You don't have to be scared of your trouble. Why? Because the man of God ain't scared of not one of them. I don't care what it is. I declare that it will leave now by the power of the Holy Ghost. I speak the blood of Jesus over every trouble, over every trial, over every sickness, over every heartache, over every heartbreak, over every mental condition. I speak now the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus. I'm going to profit off this trouble. And I'm going to let the whole world know that this trouble couldn't stop me. This trouble couldn't make me give up. This trouble couldn't make me drop out the race. This trouble couldn't make me stop calling on God. This trouble couldn't make me run and tuck my tail. But this trouble caused me to hold my head up and stick my chest out and declare that the Lord is good and that he is mighty in battle, that his name is a strong tower where the righteous can run in and be saved. I declare I'm going to profit. I'm going to profit from this trouble. I'm going to profit. I'm going to be better because of it. Marvin Sapp couldn't have said it any better. I'm stronger. I'm better. And I'm wiser when now. I'm better now than I was 5 years ago. I'm better now than I was 10 years ago. Everybody that walked away, good. Because why? I'm better now than I was then. See, then I couldn't live without you. Now I refuse to live with you. Yeah. All right, watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Watch it here. It says here. I'm still in verse number 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it produces or it worketh patience. It is here, although you may not be happy in the midst of your trials. It is happiness that is predicated on the day-to-day events. That's happiness. Depends on how somebody make me feel. But joy is the joy of the Lord. That is my strength. It's something that God releases in our life, this thing called joy. And it's joy that give me a peace that can pass all understanding. It's joy that helps me to know that everything is going to be all right. It's joy that helps me to hold on until the morning come. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It's this thing that comes from a divine God. It's this thing that comes from supernatural and manifests itself into the natural realm. This joy, because see, you may not be happy in the midst of your trials, and although they may be painful, you should always maintain a positive outlook. See, it's joy that will help you look for the good in it and not the bad in it. It's joy that will help you know that it's going to work for my good. I'm going to be better because of it. It's the joy that helps me to know that it's going to be all right. I might cry a little bit, but after I wipe my tears, I'm going to be better than I was before I start crying. And so we should always, as the people of God, because we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've already overcame the world. And so it's that that causes me to have the veracity to know that God is able and that this is going to work for me. And so I'm going to maintain my positive outlook even in a negative circumstance or situation. See, as the people of God, we always look for a way out, although we are stuck in. We're looking, we're preparing for the day when God delivers me. And what do you do when you prepare? You're working on something. Does not matter. The doctor could say you have a week left to live, but you're going to prepare like you have 100 more years. See, you're not preparing as though I have a week left. You're preparing as though I have 100 years left. And so while you're waiting, you're working. You're preparing yourself for the future. You're striving to get closer and closer and closer to God. And so it is here, my dear brothers and sisters, that you should always maintain a positive outlook. It does not matter what's looking at you. What matters is how you look at it. See, it doesn't matter what you face, because in life we're all going to face something. The Bible talks about the woman with, the key word here is the issue of blood. It really wasn't the blood, it was the issue. Because what it's pointing out is that all of us have some sort of issue. But it's faith that would help us to overcome and be healed despite the issue. And so it is here that we should maintain a positive outlook. We will never know, as the people of God, we will never know the depth of our character until we can see how we react under pressure. See, it's pressure that'll bust a pipe. See, it's pressure that'll cause you to have a heart attack. It's pressure that'll cause your blood pressure to go out of whack. It's pressure. And see, you can never really fully be able to examine the depth of your character until you are able to examine how you deal with pressure. See, when I can properly deal with pressure, then I know how and where to apply faith to certain things or certain areas called pressure. And some things I don't even need to apply my faith to. It's pointless. Why? Because it don't even mean anything. It can't touch me no way. See, so many times we misapply faith. We apply faith to things that we can take care of. But when it's something that I cannot physically move it, then I need faith to believe that it's already moved even before it's moved. And then I have to operate like it's already moved. See, when I struggle with smoking weed, or struggle with getting drunk, or struggle with smoking crack cocaine, it's then that I need faith to move that thing out of my life. But when I run out of gas and the gas station is open, it's 2:00 p.m, all I need is a gas can. And I got a pocket full of money, I don't need faith to get to the gas station. I can take care of that myself. And see, what we'll do, we'll spend, oh, Lord, help me, help me, help me, Lord, help me get gas. And you're right, broke down right in front of Boggs gas station. And you're trying to exercise faith. And you're mixing faith and foolishness up together. And you're operating in foolishness instead of faith. I mean, God said all you got to do is use 10 of the dollars that you didn't pay your tithes with and get you some gas. All right, watch it. And so it's pressure that allows us to be able to examine the depth of our faith, the depth of our relationship with God. Because it's easy to have faith with things that you can fix yourself. See, that's real easy. Lord, give me strength right now to pick up this microphone. Oh, I got faith, Pastor. But what about when you need to lift up the whole building? What about when it feels like the pressures of life is crashing down on you all at one time? What about when you're going through one thing after another thing? When mess come and Mr. Mess and Mrs. Mess come with the whole family and it's messy and chaotic. Amen. You're going through topsy-turvy situations. What about those times? So it is here, my dear brothers and sisters, that we can examine the depth of our character when we go through the pressures of life. Instead of complaining about our struggles, we should look at our struggles as opportunities for growth. And I'm going to close right there. But instead of you complaining about what you're facing, use what you are facing as an opportunity for you to grow. See, what happens is we can grow beyond the place to where we have the character to abide there or abode there. See, many times we want to go to a place because of our gifting, but we don't have character or integrity to maintain that space or occupy that space. And so it's very possible for your gift to take you to a place where your character cannot keep you. And it's here that God allows the struggles of life, the trials of life, the tribulations of life. He allows those things to penetrate sometime our foundation, because he knows that our foundation is built upon a rock. See, that's why God will allow the foundation to be tested, because he knows that it wasn't built up on quicksand. And so God knows that after the test, you're still going to stand. But he allows you to go through the test so that you can grow from the test. And sometimes we have to keep taking the same test because it's a struggle for us to pass it. And that's why we keep going around the same mountain. It's because God is saying, no, you're not tired enough yet. You're tired, but you're not tired enough. And I have to get you to the place to where you're ready to fall out and cry out to me, which indicates that I'm tired, I'm through, I had enough, to where he's able to say, all right, now I've been waiting for a long time for that moment. And then he will pick you up, make you and shape you after you've been broken. He'll put you back together, and then he'll use you for his purpose. Yes. And so instead of us focusing on our problems, we need to focus on our promises. Think about everything that God has promised you. Some of you, God promised you were going to be a millionaire, but because it didn't come the way that you thought, now you've gave up on that promise. God promised you he was going to heal you, but because the doctor said it don't look good, you've given up on the promise of God. You've given up on what Isaiah said, that you were that he was wounded for your transgressions and bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. See, so many times, sometimes it seems as though our problems look bigger than our promises. But don't matter how big your problem is, your problem can never be bigger than your promise. And whatever God promised you, he's faithful to complete it and to bring it to pass. So he that hath begun a good work in you will complete it and perform it until the day of Jesus Christ coming back to get you. So you have to know that whatever God started, he's going to finish it. You can tell the devil, hey, you started it, but God's going to finish it, because he started a great work on the inside of me. If you do me a favor, I just want you just for the next 10 seconds. If you believe that you have a promise on your life, but you've been experiencing some problems, I want you for the next 20 seconds, I want you to shout like you know that your promise is bigger than your problems. Don't matter what it looks like, I dare you to declare that my promise is bigger than my problems. Come on, I can't hear you. That's cute. But come on, it's something about a sound that releases a signal to heaven that God, I still believe you. God, I still hold you at your word. God, I believe that you will come through. God, I believe you're not going to fail me. God, I believe you're not going to let me down. Come on, 20 more seconds. Come on, 15 more seconds. Come on, 10 more seconds. Come on, 5 more seconds. Come on, don't wait till the battle is over. But I dare you, if you believe that the promise of God is on your life, I dare you shout like you have nothing else to lose. I dare you open your mouth until demons tremble. See, one thing the devil hates is when you can praise God not because of, but when you can praise him in spite of all the hell I've been through, I still got my joy. I still got my joy. Somebody shout, I still got it. I still got it. Tell your neighbor, never mind what I look like, I still got it. Don't look at where I am, look at where I'm going, because I still got it. I'm still called to do great things. I'm still called to do mega things. I'm still called to be the head and not the tail. I'm still called to be the lender and not the borrower. I'm still called to be above and not beneath. Somebody ought to shout, I'm still called. I still got it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I still got it. Still got the promise. Ain't focused on the problem. I still got it. Still got victory. Still have joy. Still have a peace that pass all of. I still got it. I still have my anointing. Doesn't matter how many times I've fallen down. The Bible says that a righteous man falleth 7 times, but not that God, but that he gets back up again. See, it's something about the righteous people of God that they know that I'm going to get back up. Why? Because God already gave me strength to get back up and to be more than a conqueror. I'm more than an overcomer. Hallelujah. Every now and then you got to check your arsenal. You know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do me a favor and pull down every stronghold that's on your life. Pull it down. I dare you, pull it down right now. You have power, and all you got to do is reach in your arsenal and use your weapon. Pull down them strongholds. If you can't pull it, hold it, cut it, pull it down. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. 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 I'm out of town, but I have a whole lot more word in me. That's it. That's it. Cry out, man of God. Come on, you still got it. You still anointed and appointed for such a time as this. Go on. I dare some brothers to go next to him and start rejoicing with him. Come on, crowd, you still got it. Come on, where the mighty men of valor at? Come on and pray. Rejoice with them that are rejoicing. Hallelujah. And since you still got it. You've been tested, tried, but you still got the promise is still good. Jeremiah said it's like fire shut up in my bone. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it, church. Come on and cry out. Come on, this is spiritual warfare. Come on and lift your sanctified voices. Yes. Glory to God. Devil, you meant it for evil, but God is turning it around right now for good. Everything I've been through is working for me now. It's working for my good. Every tear I cried is working for my good. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The blood of Jesus be against you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's it, fresh start. That's it. Come on and cry out to God. Come on, he's worthy. So worthy. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The altar is open. If you need prayer, I want you to come. If you need something from God, I want you to come. Meet me at this altar.